Triple M's Big Breakfast for Australia's biggest ever bike sale at Team Moto Motorcycles. Save up to $7,000 on over 250 models of bikes. TeamMoto.com.au.
Hey there, welcome to the catch up. Thank you again for streaming. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you do that as well because it makes the whole experience a lot easier and exclusive on the show today, Marto.
Why wouldn't you be listening when we are the only radio station in Australia that had a chat to Renee Lawrence? Wow. Never heard her voice before. It was amazingly deep.
No one knows what she sounds like. Like,
wow. A lot gruffer than I thought, wasn't it?
Yeah. Also, we were talking about Dr. Google because we've all done it and all the ailments that you realise or you think you have based on what Dr. Google
says. Cancer's not so bad when you Google it and you've got cancer and then you go, oh, it's cured. Oh,
drink a goon bag and off it goes. Okay, stand aside, Moon Man. And of course, I was back. Rich Uncle Mal, the former Prime Minister of Australia, with
you're
a lot to say.
You're not the Prime Minister anymore, mate. You're
I said former Prime
bloke.
Minister. You are really annoying me. Shush.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Live and exclusive. No TV station has this. No other radio stations. We're the only one who's been granted an interview. On her arrival, Renee Lawrence has just arrived back, just touched down, and she's heading to the domestic terminal from the international to catch a flight to Newcastle.
Now, if you don't know who Renee Lawrence is, she was the one that spent 14 years as part of the Bali Nine in Karabakan prison, and now she is home.
Not related to Laurie Lawrence. She was part of the Bali Nine, and she's with us right now. Do we call you Renee or Miss Lawrence? What is it?
Salama Pagi, Big Breakfast. You can call me Renee. Just Renee. It's great to be back. I tell you what, when they were loading me onto that Garuda flight out of Bali, I just thought, Jesus, I wasn't as scared for 14 years in prison. Garuda, you don't know. But at least it wasn't a line airline, so I'm back. Touchdown.
you're just passing through because you've landed.
Yeah.
Landed here. Why are you going to Newcastle?
Renee, that sounds quite emotional.
No, it's just great to have you back, Renee.
Renee,
I overcome with emotion.
Lawrence, why Newcastle? Why are you going to Newcastle? What's the link?
Catch up with the Johns brothers, Maddie and Joey. Just love the boys.
Mitchell Pearce.
It a lot. Universe Mitchell Pearce.
Anyway, once I'm back, you know, what do you do when you get back? Go into a pub, have a beer that's not a bintang. Someone offers me a bintang again, I'll punch their front teeth out, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a couple of things I won't be doing. I won't be eating chicken satay ever again. I'll put a skewer through somebody's eyeball if they offer me peanut sauce.
Okay. Well, Renee,
I've hardened up a bit since I've been in prison, obviously.
Renee, why have you shaved your head? Well, is that all?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. After being in an Indonesian prison, about year five, you wake up every morning, someone says, do you want braids in it? And you just think, I'm going to shave this off. Listen, mate, I don't want to buy your wood carving. I've been in here for 6 years. I say no every day. You can give us a massage if you want. I'm not paying you that.
Okay. Renee, good luck. Good luck with your life. Good luck with...
This is a fairly short interview.
Renee, I'm not done with you yet.
Okay.
Now, you've missed a lot of things while you've been...
It's a world exclusive.
Sorry.
Are you aware that while you've been coming home, there's been people signing deals to make a telly movie and series? Do you...
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of ways. I'm going to be auditioning for Wentworth later on.
But that's
I'm going to be playing Renee Lawrence.
Oh, no, but have you heard about Mick Molloy or Russell Crowe are vying for playing you in the telly movie?
No, I have. I've had some contracts put in front of me and asked who I'd like to play me, but I think I'd go for Russell Crowe. I mean, he's a great actor, and Mick Molloy looks too much like a middle-aged lesbian to play me.
That's true. What about Lawrence Mooney, Renee? How do you feel about Lawrence Mooney playing you?
Oh, there's a couple of things I'd like to do with the Moon Man. They don't include making a film.
All right. He's got a problem.
Not too fast, not too slow.
Same speed. He's the same speed sort of guy.
Okay.
Now, hey, is there anything you've just found out? You've been in jail for nearly 14 years. Is there anything about the world you've found out? Like, and you just went, my God, we've had 7 prime ministers in that time.
Have we? I don't know. Mobile phone technology is pretty cool.
It is, yeah. iPhones.
No. Yeah, I've been in a prison. I haven't been on the moon, mate. Jesus.
Okay, Renee Lawrence. It's wonderful to have you back in Australia.
All questions done now, people.
Yeah. Have a job. What are you going to do for work?
What am I going to do for work?
Newcastle.
I don't know. Just labour. Just dig ditches or something.
Okay. Thanks, Renee.
Do a bank job, probably. See ya.
Bank job.
okay, let's be honest. Truth serum right here, right now. How many of you have Googled Dr. Google because you think something's wrong with you and you've gone, oh, I'm not going to go and see someone.
Once a week.
Do you?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
In the last 3 years, the amount of people who've been going to Dr. Google has increased by 9,000%.
Of course it does.
That is so true. Now they've come up with new terminology for people who do that because they get paranoid, and that is cyberchondria.
That's brilliant.
Cyberchondriacs
and health paranoia. And hospitals are reporting increases with people who start their consultation at the hospital saying, I just Googled this and I think I might have that.
They don't like that, do they?
No, they don't.
I've taken photos of inside my own throat with the camera and then compared them to photos on the internet and just gone, that is cancerous.
That's nothing.
Oh, did you think you had cancer?
How many times have you had cancer in the last 2 years, you reckon?
I reckon I've self-diagnosed and treated and overcome cancer 4 times.
That's incredible.
Haven't you been on A Current Affair? You're a medical miracle, mate.
Because you saw what happened to Belle when she came up with the miracle cure.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that was just mistaken Dr. Googleism? That's why everyone's upper.
I've treated all of my cancers with red wine and cookies. Bang, gone.
Gone. Okay, so 133353. What did you think you had thanks to Dr. Google? The funniest will reward.
Oh, yeah.
We want some really good ones. Come on, we've all done it.
Hey,
yeah, how many times have you had cancer, Marto?
Well, 3 or 4.
Yeah, bird flu a couple of times as well, didn't you?
It's mainly Mondays with a pain just below my right side. There.
Funny that on Monday.
Funny on Monday.
Venereal Monday.
Christy of Bray Park, what did you Dr. Google and proven to be wrong?
When I had my baby, he had a little tiny dark spot on his bottom, and I Dr. Googled that it was spina bifida.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What?
And it's, of course, you're a lot more paranoid when you've got a newborn baby and you're trying to diagnose them.
What was the cure? Like, what was the treatment that Google told you?
No, well, there was no cure. It was, you know, a lifelong disability and,
Were you crying?
Did you go to a real doctor?
I went to a paediatrician and he just sort of went, oh, my God, go away kind of thing. And they laughed and you know, now he's a sort of growing, he's a young man. And I still, every now and again, I go, he hasn't got spina bifida, he's perfectly fine. But every now and again, he's kind of bad at sport. And I kind of go, was it really? Maybe it really was just a little bit of spina bifida.
Sometimes it's bad at sport.
Snap out of it.
A bit of spina bifida.
Oh, God, the bifida's back.
Yeah, just...
Oh, well done, Christy.
I bet you a lot of people Google when they have rashes, mysterious rashes, and try to attach it to a partner they'd recently been.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are your stats on that one?
Of Thornlands. Uh-oh. What did you Dr. Google?
Well, I get bronchitis every year, and I had it a couple of years back, and I sort of ended up getting a bit of a rash on the side of my neck as well.
Oh, here we go.
So I thought I'd Dr. Google it, and Dr. Google said I had syphilis.
Neck syphilis.
I've been having neck syphilis in the lungs. I was like, all right, here we go.
Did you ring all your partners?
Yeah. Did you have neck syphilis and a mole on your back?
hey, that'll do. Oh, thank you, Adrian. That's
thanks,
a thriller.
Adrian. Benjamin of Ashgrove, what did you Dr. Google?
I just woke up with a real stomach pain, so I guess that was one of those statistics, and thought it was a appendicitis.
Oh, dear. Mm.
I tell you what I didn't have was a cup of coffee, and that problem passed pretty quickly.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Our former Prime Minister, the former member for Wentworth, now he's just a rich bloke. Malcolm Turnbull.
Being a rich bloke. Hello.
Well, I've always been a rich bloke, Marto. I mean, that's stating the obvious, the bleeding obvious. Good morning to you, Robin Bailey, and congratulations again on your connubials. To you, Moonman Brendo. And Marto, what are you trying to stir up some trouble, being an agitprop, are you?
Well, you're no longer a member of Parliament. You don't control
anything. That's right. I stood down, and of course, I was in Singapore during the by election. I watched it from over there. I was so excited when Anthony Green announced there was a 17% swing against the Liberal Party. I got quite aroused.
I bet you did.
And look at me, a heterosexual man handing over to a lesbian woman, Karen Phelps, making it a true by election.
So can I just check something? Did you always have that voice even before you were rich, or did you bung it on after you got rich?
No, I've always spoken like this, right from the word go, probably I started to enunciate properly. When I worked in radio, of course, I was a journalist.
What?
So I used to, you probably didn't know that, I wrote for the Bulletin and I also worked as a journalist on radio, like a young, you know, Seb Costello, if you will, or, you know, like a, I don't know, one of your journalists up there. Young Sam Hargraves. Yeah. And so I learned how to speak properly.
Oh, is that what happened? Look, so let's talk about politics, because is it true the Liberal Party are trying to expel you?
Well, they are, you know, but that was actually a movement, a motion put forward by a branch within Warringah, because I've joined a an Insta group. Lucy, Alex and I have joined an Insta group, which is Get Tony Abbott Out, and we want to. And so a branch called Roseville. Now, Roseville, let me give you a bit of perspective.
Yes.
Roseville is very much cups of tea, the British flag, cucumber sandwiches, a high degree of incontinence, old white people clinging to the wreckage of a bygone era. I mean, these people, they would not have been watching the cricket last night, that's for sure, because it isn't white versus white. They're terrible individuals, and they want to kick me out. But I think they've got no chance. Of course, I am a convivial recipient of criticism.
So what is it then? Why do they want to kick you out?
Well, like I said, I joined an Insta group because I want to bring Tony down, the lizard man. I hate him.
Okay.
I'd like to see him cut in half by the manly
fairy. That's the thing. That's why I'm asking, because he stuck up for you.
Well, Tony has only stuck up for me because this would actually split the party in two. Not only do they neck the Prime Minister, but then, of course, they kick him out of the party, myself, and so the Labor Party would just come on board and set fire to them. It would be the end of the Liberal Party as we know it. So that's what I was trying to do. I was rolling a bomb in there.
Can I just check, as a former leader, you used to choose the direction of Australia, a bit of social commentary. Chappelle Corby came home last year to huge paparazzi, etc. Renee Lawrence today, not too many people want to know about her. Is that because of heroin and the difference between heroin and marijuana, or what is it? Or is it looks?
You probably know the difference between heroin and marijuana, do you, Marta?
gotcha.
Giving you a clip on the way through. I think Renee Lawrence has served her time in Kerobokan. She's been in Indonesia for 13 years and she should be left alone. I say give her own show. Renee Lawrence is banged up abroad. Let's get her into other parts of the world. Look inside other third world and developing world prisons. I like Renee.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. I think we've got her on.
She could be a great country and western singer.
We've got her on the show actually just after 7:30, Miss Lawrence.
I'll be listening. I'm a big fan.
Well. Thank you. Thanks
great.
So much.
Thank
you. Always a pleasure.
Rocks Brisbane.
Now, there
okay.
it is.
Bye, sir. Bye-bye.
The following segment contains serious, sexy talk and music from Kenny G.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
I thought we would go between the decades this morning just to give you some ideas about what it's like for everyone in their 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s and beyond.
Mm.
Now, this is with the guys that we are trying to affair-proof our relationships.
What does that mean?
So doing things that will stop your partner from having an excuse to wander and look at someone else.
So when you say affair-proof, if you keep it interesting, you think that there's no chance of an affair? Because I reckon affairs, a lot of the time, are about the emotional support people are looking for.
So it's not just about keeping it interesting. It's
not the physical side.
No, it's also about understanding where your partner is based on their age.
Most sex workers say that one of the most common quotes is...
To you? Is this your magazine?
How do you know this just offhand?
Okay. All of the sex workers that I've ever been with agree that I always say my wife doesn't understand me. Is that right?
That's true.
Yeah.
They don't feel heard.
And that's why they go to sex workers.
That's right.
Yes. And
wow.
Because they say to their wives, do that, and they go, I don't think so. But a sex worker will, and they're just like, my wife doesn't understand me. It's like, yes, because you're a pervert.
And my girlfriend who owns a brothel says that often people...
girlfriend that owns a brothel.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
Investment.
Yeah, no, anyway, she says that often people will pay just to talk. So they'll be over in 2 minutes.
Rubbish.
Now, hang on.
Boring.
They'll be over in 2 minutes, and rather than do anything else... they'll then just want to sit and chat. Anyway,
do those girls go behind her back, the sex workers, and say, we didn't have sex, but they, and so therefore they don't have to give her much money?
Yeah, no, that doesn't. That's not.
Is there a flat rate?
Yeah, there is, and they pay that up front. Okay, in your 20s,
yes,
usually at the peak of your health and in the prime of your physical intimacy,
and you look all right.
Yeah, the big thing to do here is basically they're saying have as much sex as humanly possible, and remind each other to get in the mood and just turn it on.
So you're out.
You're also
4 times a night, 5.
You're also advised in your 20s to work out what your boundaries are.
Okay,
so if you like dress ups, if you like that sort of stuff, work it out in your 20s.
Massive in the 90s. That was my 20s.
Dress ups or just sex?
Well, I was at drama school. There was dress ups. There was no boundaries, and there was heaps of sex.
There you go.
And you know what? There was no AIDS in the early to mid 80s. You could just go nuts.
Not anymore. Sex in the 30s. Okay, in your 30s, many couples have the added stress and responsibility of homes, careers, and children. All of these things can lead to couples to neglecting their sexuality and forget about their lovers first and parenting second. That's how it should be.
That's when they start to stray, isn't it?
The other thing for blokes, and I do agree with this, pregnancy and fertility can be the big stress for both partners as hormones change over the monthly cycle. Once a woman is pregnant, her body goes through this rapid change. It's hard to keep up with it, and it's hard for you guys to know what to do with
her. That's right.
And if one partner is infertile, that's a whole other set of issues. So the thing you need to do in your 30s, blokes, if your partner's trying to fall pregnant, is just be understanding.
And just let them get pregnant.
And don't grab hold of their nipples because they're using them for feeding the baby. God, everybody, stop
But some pregnant women...
That's actually a good tip. I was going to card it, but I was like, it's a good
new
tip.
Father,
it's a good
of course. Tip, yes. They're not yours anymore, mate.
That's
sex
right.
Sex in your 40s. If you and your spouse are in your 40s, your sex life can be reinvigorated. Sometimes seem like a second honeymoon, although partners can go through a midlife crisis. The way to deal with that midlife crisis where you're looking at your person going, is that it?
Leather and rubber, I bet.
Is to become adventurous.
Leather and rubber.
That's
right. Well, when I was in my 40s, from 41, I met a woman who's 16 years younger than me.
So
hold on. You're in your early 50s, she's in her 30s.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there's a
does
decade
it say
missing.
Anything about that?
No. It does say that your 40s is the time.
She'd say something about that.
That's like you're like a time traveller.
But here's the thing for 50s and beyond. This is something for us all to look forward to. Yeah.
Are you saying that I jump into the TARDIS and go to another decade?
Exactly. You know the old one, you're only as old as the woman you feel or something like that?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, 50s, sorry.
50s, make sure your partner is your highest priority. And here's the thing, 50-plus-year-olds... become adventurous. This is the time before you'll lose your physicality to try those things you've always wanted to and never done before.
I got told off the other night.
Well, yeah, this is what we're about.
Be careful.
Okay, I'm going to be very careful. Ready.
Use code.
Right, yeah. It can be very plainly said. She goes, come on, mate, vary the speed.
Hold on.
You'd fallen asleep.
Was it too slow or too fast?
She said it was neither.
No. That is a visual.
Did you make it to a full minute?
Stop it.
Did you make it to a full minute the other night?
How dare you?
Yes, I know.
Turn him off.
What am I, a machine?
Okay, turn them off.
He was in school zone mode.
I'm not a machine, for God's sake. Tens of thousands of us every morning drive down the Bruce Highway from the sunny coast. Can one of you two tell everyone what's going on up this coast?
You're getting busted for eating and driving.
Snacking and driving is out, according to the fuzz.
When did this come in?
Well, it's been a bit vague for a while, but the law you are breaking is driving without due care and attention. And in Queensland, the maximum penalty courts usually issue for negligent driving is up to $4,000.
That's an enormous fine.
That's a huge amount.
So, is it based on what you're eating? Like if I'm having an apple, am I Gonski?
If it's impairing your ability to drive. So you know that young pea plater in Perth a couple of weeks ago who had a bowl of cereal? She had the bowl in one hand, the spoon in the other, and she was driving with her knees?
Yep.
In Western Australia, she got a $398 fine and 3 demerit points.
A mate of mine
was
eating yogurt. The thing was in his lap. The bowl was in his lap, eating with a spoon, driving with one hand. Everyone drives with one hand.
You're allowed to drive with one hand.
He got done.
Oh, are you?
Absolutely, you're allowed to drive with one hand, but it's about whether your eyes are taken off the road. Now, as a fan of Ronnie Max, I love a Big Mac. And that point is like, when you're negotiating how to get the thumbs under the burger and
yep.
and get it up without losing too much lettuce into your lap,
yep.
those split seconds could cost a life.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It could cost a life or could cost you 2 points and $300 or something. But is it illegal?
It's illegal if a police officer decides you're driving without due care.
But it is not illegal to eat behind the wheel.
Hold on, I'm getting mixed messages
no,
here.
That's right.
It's not illegal to eat food, but if you are deemed to not be concentrating, then you are up for 3 demerit points and a hefty fine.
Oh, well, you know, we're down on text messaging because that is taking
terrible.
Your focus away.
That,
but if I'm not using a tool, if I'm using an implement, a fork or a spoon, or I have to cut anything, that's bad. But if I'm just having chips or
I reckon an apple's pretty safe because you're not worried. You don't have to concentrate on an apple. You know exactly what's going to happen. Teeth, apple, chew. But if you've got, you know, your Huey, Suey, Min and a steaming cup
that's
between your legs, obviously you don't want to drop the hot water in your groin. So,
especially, what do you... have you ever heard the story about the guy who had a mobile phone shaped like a biscuit?
Yeah.
Oh, great story.
And the cops pulled him up and said, mate, we're going to have to fine you. And he started eating the mobile phone biscuit.
And what
That's
happened?
A lot
Did
of
he
trouble.
Get off?
Hey, well, the cops probably...
knew about it.
Heard
See,
him.
What you need to do is drive a new car like mine because I've got a new CX-5. If you're not focused on the road with both hands on the wheel, it starts screaming at you.
Oh, my God.
And starts to set off warning things and tells you to refocus.
Moon, you had the idea. You know where this is coming from. Who's enabling people to do this?
This is McDonald's. Got the drive-thru. If you're going to stop people, you know,
KFC,
eating and driving,
it's all of them.
You've got to shut down the drive-thru. All the drive-thrus have to go.
Yeah, that's
I mean, these
the
are
law.
Enablers.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're not doing that. That's obviously not the answer.
So. No, it's not happening.
No.
Well, you need a hands-free eating device
Correct.
Of some sort. I
Correct.
Don't know whether it comes out of the screen or out of your steering wheel, like an airbag, and just like a dog, just a bowl.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
There was a request put in yesterday by my co-workers here in the studio that I get a recording of some of my wedding vows. Of course, got married over the weekend.
Oh, mate, it's Thursday. I think we can stop talking about the
wedding. You asked me for this. You asked me for this. So I managed to get some of the audio because in the wedding vows, we did all the beautiful traditional, you know, promise to love each other, sickness, health, all that stuff.
If anyone's just joined us, it was one of the great weddings. It was beautiful.
But we also added a kind of little quirky bit each. My quirky bit was that Sean has to keep facilitating my complete devotion to beautiful jewellery
and
be an enabler of my shoe collection.
Shoe.
Okay, and then...
Which is what, up to about three or four pair now?
You can't lie because you know a mate
them.
Of mine built your built-in wardrobe.
I know how many
shoes you've
had. I give a lot away. But a couple of hundred. But anyway, my vows to Sean, and this is from the actual ceremony, was this.
Robin, will you promise to watch the cricket and let Sean have some of the wardrobe space, please, for the rest of your lives?
We do.
We did it together.
Okay.
And everyone cheered.
And last night was the first cricket game since the wedding.
I know. I really thought I'd have a couple more weeks. Anyway, bless his little cotton socks.
It's on every day.
I know.
I mean, you weren't here when Rob got here this morning. She said, was there anything on the news last night? I missed it. I went, we both always watch the news and keep an eye on things. No, I was watching the cricket. The last words I've ever thought to hear from your head was, I was watching the cricket. I didn't catch the
No,
news.
It was about 5:40 and Sean's sitting on our couch with a beer in his hand like, he's got this little place beside him. He's
married.
Are you coming?
No.
Are you coming to sit beside me?
Oh, excited.
Yeah, it lasted.
Was there anything that intrigued you about the cricket as you were watching? What did you love?
Observations, purely from someone who doesn't understand cricket. I love the Indian cheering. I love the crowd. I spent a lot of time just watching how awesomely involved they were. Yeah. I loved it when that cricket ball hit the camera.
Oh, the flying fox got hit off Glen Maxwell.
Doesn't happen every night.
Good. Yeah.
That was a first ever.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I kind of thought about the guy that dropped, the Australian who dropped...
Numpty.
Yeah, I went,
Numpty Dumpty, his name is.
Virat Kohli.
Okay, him.
Yeah.
One job, buddy.
One job, mate. And he's the captain. You're meant to be the best at it.
Yeah, he's supposed to catch the ball.
Did you like how what Australia hit about 9 sixes and I think 3 of them were caught by the crowd? That was pretty impressive.
That was very impressive.
All right, can I put to you, should they keep that ball like baseball?
Yeah, if
you,
of course.
Every time a six gets hit, throw it in your pocket, bro.
Yeah. I tried really hard to understand what a Duckworth Lewis. What is that?
You cop the Duckworth Lewis system. Yeah, yeah. I'm so sorry.
That's a rare cricket game where that happens. When there's a rain interruption, there's this amazing. If they didn't apply it to cricket, it could fly a man to Mars, I'm sure. It's so difficult to understand. And if there's rain, they work out how many runs you would have scored if it wasn't raining. Next thing you know, 174 runs needed off 7.
And I will concede that the last 15 minutes were exciting because we weren't going to win.
We won. I reckon that's a great summary. I love it when the ball hits the camera, when the crowd catch it. Well, what's a Duckworth Lewis?
Nobody knows. Yeah.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.